a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Democratic Leadership Press Conference. Speaking from the Democrats today are Senator Billy Sutton and Representative Spencer Hawley. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Capitol. Billy Sutton, District 21, Senate Minority Leader. This week we're going to start by focusing out on kind of one issue and then talk about a couple other ones towards the end. But the first one I want to talk about is a bill that was introduced in the Senate, and it is up in State Affairs today. Actually, after this press conference, I'll be going back up there, and we hope to take that bill up. But it's Senate Bill 166. And it would fundamentally change the initiated measure process in South Dakota. It would change it to that you'd have to gather now 26,000 signatures to get an initiated measure on the ballot. Right now, that number is just over 13,000. So this is an issue that every South Dakotan needs to keep an eye on. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, it does not matter. This is an issue that strikes at the heart of our fundamental belief in democracy and our focus on the people's will. You know, we were the first state to institute the initiated measure and referendum process in 1898. The first state. We have a rich history of the initiated measure process and the referral process. Just to give you an idea, you can go out on the Secretary of State's website and view 22-some pages of the history of the initiated measure and the different measures that were on the ballot at different times. Women's suffrage in 1890, which was a constitutional amendment, appeared on 7 different ballots before it passed in 1916. We reduced the voting age to 18 in the 50s through the initiated measure process. The voter approval for nuclear waste disposal, that was in the 80s. We had a ballot measure to require seatbelts, which passed in the 90s. So our history in this is great. And anything to make it more difficult to get an initiated measure on the ballot is not good for South Dakota. And it's not good for the South Dakota voice. So that's something that you will want to keep a close eye on as we move through the session. There is talk that the bill could potentially be tabled. And we would be all for that at this point. So something to keep an eye on. With that, I'll turn it over to Representative Hawley, the minority leader in the House.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. Just a couple other bills we wanted to address before we switch gears to a couple of major bills. And probably Senate Bill 69, which has gone through the Senate, and it came through the Senate floor and will be coming over to the House. And it was on a party line vote that it came through the Senate. Initially, it was a bill brought forward by the Secretary of State's office, and it was a good faith bill that she brought forth through the election board, and it was to change the time period when you could file your petition to run for election. And a lot of it, she wanted to move it up from last Tuesday in March to the last Tuesday in February. And it was in response to what happened, a few bad actors in the last election, that she felt they didn't have enough time to go through the petitions and make sure they're valid petitions. And it was a good faith bill. But after it was presented, then there were several bad amendments added onto the bill that did not go through the election board and were not vetted. Specifically, it takes the process out that if somebody signed a petition and then for some reason they can't run, they can't drop out and you can't replace it with another candidate is what it does. And they put it very strict on there. The only way you can drop out is through a personal illness, and you have to have at least 2 physicians sign off that you have it. There is no other nominee from either party that's been nominated in there. that if you were appointed to fill a vacancy in another office, another elective office, you could drop out. Or if you move from your physical address and then you got to present an affidavit that you won't move back and you're just not moving. Basically, I think the best way to determine this is an Incumbency Protection Act. There's a threat out there, evidently, that they feel that if they can control the number of people running, that's a good deal. Our approach has been, this is an election process, and the more elections you have, the more people you involved in a process, the better the process it is. If you don't have somebody running against somebody, who talks about the issues before the election? Nobody. And we just think it was a bad bill. Obviously, our view didn't win out, and now we get to have the discussion over in the House side. Another one we just finished, I just walked down from State Affairs in the House, and we heard HB 1167, and this is called the Dash Rule. Back in 2002, there was a bill brought forth through the legislature, and when Senator Daschle was in office, and there was, if you remember back then, there was discussions of him maybe running for president, vice president. So they brought forth a bill saying that you could not run for another elective office while you held an office, specifically the presidency and vice presidency. And that passed. Now we have 1176, and they're deleting that rule. And it's just interesting. You know, one of our current senators, there's been comments about him as presidential, vice presidential, and just the hypocrisy of it just stands out. It depends at what point in time we're talking, which way they want the rule to be. And the problem when you have such a lopsided one-party type system in South Dakota, that's allowed to happen. This is a good bill now. 2 years, it may not be a good bill. It just depends what the moment in time is. And it's not legislation based on for the good of the people. It's legislation based on what's good for us at this moment in time. But we're going to switch gears a little bit now. Billy was involved with the juvenile justice reform, and I'll just let him talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to talk about, you know, it seems like when we do some of these press conferences, a lot of times what we talk about is what's going wrong and what's bad. But now we want to talk about some good things. Juvenile justice reform in South Dakota. I served on the work group this summer. It's Senate Bill 73. It came on the heels of our criminal justice reform of a couple years ago. And I got the honor of serving on the work group this summer. And we came up with some recommendations for our juvenile system because we found a couple problems, frankly. 70% of the kids in the Department of Corrections are in there for misdemeanors or probation violations. They're non-violent offenders, and we view that as a problem because when you put a kid in the DOC system, they're much more likely to end up back there again, and they're much more likely to end up there once they're no longer a minor as well. And so that was a big problem that we saw. And we have one of the highest incarceration rates in the nation here in South Dakota for our juveniles. And that's a problem. We need to work on things to help give them support in their own community, offer diversion programs. And frankly, that's what we found, is we did not have enough diversion programs and enough community-based services in South Dakota. So the work group came together and offered a huge initiative, Juvenile Justice Public Safety Improvement Act. And I have to give the governor a lot of credit on this, as well as his reforms in criminal justice. This signifies a significant change in philosophy in South Dakota compared to how we've treated offenders in the past. And so I think it passed out nearly unanimously in the Senate, and I hope that it does the same in the House, because a lot of times up here in Pierre, we get bogged down on smaller issues that we have bigger arguments over, and things like juvenile justice reform don't get enough credit and don't get enough attention. And so I want to be clear that this is a big deal for South Dakota, and it's a big deal for the youth of South Dakota. So things were doing well. and hope to improve juvenile justice reform. With that, I'll turn it over to Spence to talk a little bit about highway funding.
Thank you, Senator Sutton. And again, just to reaffirm, you know, sometimes when you're put in a minority position, it looks like you're just all negative and just everything is terrible. And we don't support anything, and that's not a correct statement. The other good example we've got is the roads and bridges and highway funding proposal. Last summer, through the executive board of the Legislative Research Council, we established a roads and bridges summer interim committee, and they studied our roads and bridges in South Dakota and the status of them, of our state highways, our county roads, and our township roads, and where we're at, and assessed them. And then they've come forward with a proposal on it. Through the last few years, we've had ERA funds come in through stimulus dollars, and our state highway system is in really good shape right now, as along with the interstate system, because several hundred million dollars have been pumped in from the federal government to stimulate the economy, and we're at a good status right now. Where the effort was directed is that they want to maintain that our 80% of our roads are at a green level, at an adequate level. And in order to do that, our current funding that we have coming in does not pay for it through the gas tax. We will start falling behind. The second part of the equation is our county roads and bridges and our township's roads and bridges are in terrible shape right now. They're not in a good status at all, and they literally do not have enough funds. Most counties you will see, I just read yesterday in the paper that Sioux Falls, Minnehaha County was trying to decide whether they should buy a couple trucks or if they need to fix the bridges, and it appears they were going to work on the bridges and put off the buying the vehicles for the time being. So they're all being put in that position right now. So came forth out of that was Senate Bill 1, which is going through the Senate side. And that bill has about $100 million price tag of increased gasoline tax and a series of different taxes in it. And on the House side, we're working, the governor's introduced a bill, which will be coming up in transferred to House State Affairs. And that has about a $50 million price tag on it. That one takes out the tax on the dyed fuels. It takes out the whole tax on wholesale gas and taxation on from 4 to 12 wheels, which Senate Bill 1 does. But it still provides about $10 million over to the counties for them to use for their local taxes, for local bridges and local road repairs. I would say where we're at right now, we're extremely supportive of the bill. I from what you hear going through just through the halls, I would guess the governor's proposal with the $50 million is probably going to be closer to the target that's going to come out of here. One of our discussions on it is that the governor's proposal has an increase of 2 cents per gallon on the gasoline tax every year with no cap ever. And we just have a concern with that. We think that there needs to be a reasonable cap on here, whether it be a 5-6 year cap, that the maximum it can be raised with 10 cents, 12 cents, and then they need to come back and talk to the legislature. But overall, though, I say there's general support for the bill from our side. We realize that there is an issue out there, and probably more on the county and township level, we need to make sure we give more effort and more support than we're giving them right now. I guess that was about the our topics that we wanted to cover. You didn't have any others that we've added, Senator Sutton. We'll open up for questions right now then.
We're ready for questions now.
Charles Ray, Public Radio. I want to ask about Senate Bill 166. Is there a concern that this would give those with a lot of money, with lots of funding, more power to put an issue on the ballot they deem important rather than just an issue that may not be as popular with those in power?
Yeah, this is Billy Sutton. Definitely. When you increase the signatures, it's just going to take more money to get people out there to help you circulate petitions, and that's going to benefit more heavily the outside interests that are outside of our state. They have the outside interests are the ones that have the money, And this is really going to affect grassroots organizations. And we're a very grassroots state. And so this just flies in the face of what we stand for as South Dakotans. And it is going to make it easier for the folks with a lot of money to get it done. And we have a fundamental problem with that.
Where are we at in this bill right now? I need to check it on the list on the website.
Well, actually, after this press conference, I'll be going back up to State Affairs. This is Billy Sutton again. And that bill is calendared for today. There is discussion that it's going to possibly be tabled by the sponsor, or it will be deferred. I don't think they're going to take any testimony on it today, was the discussion that I've been told. We have a full calendar in State Affairs today, so I don't know if we'll even get to it.
Is this any coincidence that it comes after the minimum wage bill passed?
You know, it might be. I'm not privy to the backroom discussions as to why this was brought in. There's been discussion that it could have been brought in because of payday lending and the attempt to get that on the ballot. The minimum wage has definitely come up as part of the reason. And even the patient choice that passed has been a discussion of why this might be coming up. The timing is interesting, but I don't know the reason for it specifically.
Thank you.
We're ready for more questions. Are there any other callers on the line?
Okay.
I guess if not, yeah, we can go to closing remarks.
Yeah, we'll just close. I'll start it off. Just thank everybody for, listening to our side of the issue and for taking the time to sit in. And we're always open for any questions that anyone might have. We try to be as transparent as possible. You can even come and sit in on our caucus meetings if you want, because we have open caucuses. Yeah, so you get to hear everything and the reasons that we do what we do and the reasons for the stances that we take. And I think that's important because we are a citizen legislature. We are citizens with jobs out in the real world just like everybody else. No better, no worse. And so it's very important that we be transparent and real and have real discussions about the issues, because the money that we get to be here, that's not the reason you're here. We do it because we want to make South Dakota a better place. And you can't do that unless you have legitimate conversations about issues that affect everyday South Dakotans. And that's what we're here for. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Sutton. I think his comments are good, and I'm not going to add a lot to that. Just thank you for the questions today and the time to visit with you. The session has been kind of quiet up to now, probably a little more heated on the Senate side on some issues, but we're starting to heat up on the House side. Our State Affairs calendar is getting full now, and the real contentious issues are starting to come up. So we'll be able to visit with you more in the future weeks on that. But thank you for your time.
Thank you for your questions, and the Democrats will be speaking next week at 10 a.m., and the Republican Leadership Press Conference will be up next. Thanks.